Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. Honored that you are tuning in. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. And you can email in as well, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. You may be asking yourself, if you're new to this show, why in the world would we call in? Well, this is a show where we talk about your real life financial situations and relationship situations. Maybe it's a leadership situation. Maybe you just have a comment. Maybe you've got a testimony. You just want to praise God. That's why. We want to look at those situations through the eyes of the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about stewarding those particular situations? Manage them God's way and for God's glory. That's what this show's about. So we're going to have a little bit of fun. Going to start you off today with some random facts. As you're facing your midweek, did you know that a simple smile can improve your health? Yes, studies show that smiling decreases cortisol in your body, which improves your health. And smiling is a form of exercise. It takes 26 muscles to make yourself smile. And producer Bob, he says it's his main form of exercise. He's going to kill me for that one. Smiling is contagious, folks. Just now, I just smiled through the glass, and they smiled right back at me, right? I don't know if they did it on purpose, but I think it's contagious, right? So make sure that you smile at somebody today. By doing that, you're showing God's love in a way that someone just might need today. Who needs a smile? A little bit of encouragement as we start our broadcast. Again, 866-357-3283. First up is Joelle from Utah. Joelle, how are you?
Yes. Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Yeah, so I have about 1,600 in student loans. And about $14,000 on a car payment. And my wife and I, we make about $44,000 a year.
Okay.
My question is, should I pay off the cars or should I sell it? I'm not sure if it was a mistake on getting this vehicle.
How fast would you be able to pay it off?
Well, with the income tax coming in here in February, and we're setting like $300 or $400 aside, hopefully by the end of next year, before the end of next year.
Okay. And what is the gap between its worth and what you owe?
So I owe about $14,000, and I believe it's worth about $10,000.
Okay.
So it's about a $4,000 difference.
So is there any way that you can pay it off faster? Could you get an extra job
probably,
or cut some expenses?
Oh, yeah, I'm probably working an extra job. I could do that.
Uh-huh. If I was in your shoes, I would probably sell it.
Sell it?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not telling you have to.
Right.
What I am telling you to do, like from God's perspective, he wants you to be out of debt as fast as possible. You had mentioned gazelle intensity.
Right.
That's from Proverbs 6:5. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. And I would put one caveat on that that's assumed in that verse, without robbing from your future. So when we say free ourselves, okay, we got to do whatever we can. We got to get out of debt immediately. All right, I'm going to steal from my 401k. That's not what it's talking about.
Right.
But it's working hard. It's cutting down expenses. It's doing a little bit of both so that you can – and maybe sometimes it's selling your car and taking a $4,000 hit. So I think you got to ask yourself, you know, it's not too much car. Do you have another car as well?
Yeah, I have a little Honda.
So what's the total worth of both your cars?
About 13. Honda is not worth too much. Probably like 1,200 the most.
Yeah, and it gets you around town, okay?
Oh yeah, it does. Yeah.
So just think about what you know. You guys would be completely debt free, saving $300 a month if you had two cars for $3,000 each.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a grand each. I don't know, but I think you're going to sleep better at night. You're going to be happier if you sell the car.
Okay.
Obviously, that means you have to come up with 4K.
Right.
So that means maybe it's taking a part-time job for 3 months to make it happen.
Okay.
But that's what I would do. Again, it's the quickest way.
Right.
So which one do you think you're going to do?
Probably sell the car and pick up a part-time job. Mm-hmm. That way I can get rid of that debt and be able to start saving for the other baby steps.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. How long have you been on the baby steps?
Probably about a couple of years. We're on baby step 2.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, very good. Well, we're cheering you on, man. You can do this. You got it. The car note, that $300, when you're only making 40-something K in this season of your life, $300 payments is crippling. So to have that freed up, you're not going to know what to do.
Right.
That's perfect. Awesome. Well, Joel, we're cheering you on, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion the Vander Blumen Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vander Blumen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and you're listening to Chris Brown, your host. We're broadcasting right here from Nashville. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. This next call comes in from Phoenix, Arizona. This is Derek. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call today.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm actually calling about, I need some advice. My fiance, we just got engaged 2 weeks ago now. We're getting ready to get married next year.
Cool, congrats.
Thank you. And we have a little bit of debt, total about $50,000 in debt right now between the two of us. It's student loan debt on her end and medical bills, and on my end it's student loans and a bunch of collections out there still. My question is that we're kind of tossing up a decision between either getting another apartment when she moves here or renting a house. And I want to know if it was wise to rent a house with debt. Should we pay our debt off and then work on renting a house or buying a house, or is it okay to go ahead and rent?
Yeah, I would definitely wait to buy a home, but the difference between renting a home or renting an apartment is not a significant issue. I think what you're looking for is, in this season, is whatever one is cheaper. You're looking for lower square footage, and you're looking to stay out of the elite locations, because that's not the season. You're not an elite. You don't have elite financial position yet. But I also would say be careful that you don't just go for cheaper and you start off your married life in a very unsafe location. Be careful.
The biggest issue is that we live in our apartment right now, and I'm living there by myself. I'm paying $850 a month for an apartment, including water and everything.
Yeah.
And it's almost cheaper, maybe $50 to $100 more just to rent a house instead. It's 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. I'm paying for a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment right now.
Yeah. I mean, when it's that little of a difference, I think the privacy that you're going to get, you're setting up, you know, some privacy for your new marriage. I think there's a lot of pros to that. You got to think through all the different variable and different expenses that go with that, though. Is there more utilities? Is there going to be more of this, more of that in either one of the locations? Just play all that out of the total overall, not just the rent. 850 versus 800. There's a bunch of other stuff, you know, the commute to work,
right?
All those kind of things you got to think through.
Okay.
I just know for Holly and I, the biggest thing that I hear here, I hear in this situation is that you possibly could be so fixated on as cheap as possible, and you're going to put yourself in a spot where you're starting your marriage off where she could possibly resent you for being in a less than livable location because you're so gazelle intense.
Gotcha.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
For me, our first place where we live, my wife and I chose a sketchy apartment. Mm-hmm. And now I look back and I'm like, Chris.
Yeah.
I got my act together after the first 6 months. Then we moved to these little, they're like little cottages, like maid's quarters at the bottom of a hill. They're right at the bottom of a hill of this really, really large, amazing, huge brick houses. So we lived in this great, great neighborhood, but we were living for $550 a month in this little two-bedroom cottage. That was a winner. She loved that. She felt safe. We were in a great location, but we were paying for very little square footage.
Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to move, just because the apartment I live in is kind of sketchy. I mean, and I'd like to get a nicer neighborhood for a little bit more. I'm willing to pay a little bit out of pocket more than what I'm paying now to kind of get a better life for her, and also not have to worry about, you know, the cost of living is going to be, it's almost as much to live in an apartment than it is to live in a house here.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but.
Well, she's got a security gland that has been permanently fixated into her system. She cares about security. There's two things that's going to make her feel the most secure. One is being safe in her own home, her own dwelling. And number two is having some margin in the finances. So when you find that intersection, you've picked the right one.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, Derek, let me point you towards one resource at stewardship.com. There's an article we put up there, how to know when you're ready to buy a home.
Okay.
And so when you get through this season of paying off the combined debt, then you're going to need to know when is the time. And so we've provided that article there for you. Okay, Derek?
Okay, so, sounds good. Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you. All right, folks, if you've been thinking about investing lately, obviously Derek is not there yet, but he will be. There's this 401k at work. There's Roth IRAs. There's gold. There's all this stuff out there. How do you know what to do? Well, first of all, you don't do gold. But you need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest. And you need to know why gold's not a good option, right? Well, imagine working with an investing professional who explains every detail in a way that you can understand it, who offers guidance for your situation, who treats you like a person, not a transaction, who doesn't judge you because of your age or because of your account balance or your maybe a lack of financial knowledge. That's what you get when you work with a SmartVestor Pro. So if you need someone you can count on to help you take control of your future, go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends to find a SmartVestor Pro right there in your area. Don't wait to get educated on your future. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and find a pro with SmartVestor to get started today.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're grateful for all the stories you've been sending, the testimonies. Some of you have been sending words of encouragement to others in our stewardship community. Keep it up, and you'll encourage and give hope to others. Call us at 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're taking your calls at 866-357-3283 and taking your emails at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And you can also reach out on social media. Chris Brown On Air is the handle on all social media platforms. Next up from Kingsport, Tennessee, this is Jonathan. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, man?
I'm better every day. How can we serve you?
Well, I've got a question for you. Right now, I am the owner of a lawn care company up here in Kingsport.
Okay.
And we have a fantastic season from about March through November. We roll hot and heavy somewhere between 60 to 80 hours a week. And then near the end of November, kind of cuts off and you don't have much. It's kind of feast or famine in the industry. And I'm trying to manage my family as well as the company and be a good steward of both. And I feel like during the feast time of the company that I'm not able to give my wife and my daughters the time that they deserve out of me, because we're having to mow, we're having to landscape and do all this stuff with the company trying to make it grow, where eventually it will be able to sustain itself. But there's also the famine times where we put the money back, and so it's not a big deal, but I'm also just sitting there and I'm not able to go work because there isn't much during the winter time for us to do. We don't get a ton of snow, so there's not really snow removal and that sort of thing. So I'm conflicted as to whether I should remain in this or if I should go and do something different where I can work a 40-hour job, such as maybe in marketing or sales or something like that. What do you think?
Well, I am, you know, a firm believer that there's no such thing as life balance, that there's rhythms of life. And so there's maybe a 2 week on, 2 week off, or a month on, month off. There's like right now I'm not balanced because I'm at work. Let's say somebody's listening in, has weekends off, and they're all with their family. They're not life balanced either because they're not doing anything with work. However, in your scenario, it's pretty extreme. You've got like 6 months on, like completely gone, 80 hours. I'd say 80 hours plus is a lot.
Yeah.
And then you've got,
that happens
you've got,
a lot.
And then you've got like months at a time where you're just sitting at home. So it's extremes. I think, let's start off with writing. Let's ask the right question. Let's play this thing out. You and I having a conversation by the pool. You're 35 years old. So what is that? About 10 years from now?
About 10 years, yeah.
Okay, so about 10 years from now, we're sitting by the pool. Of course, you're ripped out of your mind because that's the we can do that. We can go ahead and just we can say whatever story we want to right now. What does your life look like right then? Like what are you doing? What is the ideal scenario? Are you running a landscaping company? Are you in the weeds on it? Sorry for the pun. do you pull up a little bit? Are you running 5 landscaping companies? Are you in marketing? What are you doing?
Honestly, I'm not entirely sure. I can see myself 10 years from now running the landscape company, having crews work under me. But at the same time, I can also see myself in marketing, running marketing teams for other companies where I'm not working for me.
Okay.
And so.
Well, that's what I needed to hear. So, you know, this is why I wanted to start there, is because Jesus said in Luke 14:28, who would build a tower and not sit down first and count the cost? And so what you're doing is you're building this life. You're building this tower. You know, figuratively speaking, you're building this adult life, you're building your family, you're building all this. And it's like, okay, let's sit down first. Okay, let's put together a blueprint. Do I really want to be running a landscaping company or do I not? Am I okay with, because really, if I'm really the economic engine and I'm the sales guy, I'm the one that's going out there and I'm getting a lot of the clients, either A, I need to be engaged at 80 hours a week sometime during the year to be able to gain all these clients, or B, I need to forfeit a ton of margin to pay for somebody in middle management that can go out and get these sales. So you got to play that out and you got to do the blueprint. Do I want to do that? Or does a little bit more stable 40 to 50 to maybe 55 hours a week doing something a little bit more predictable work better for our family? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So we got to have a vision. Where are we headed? For me, based on what you've told me, which is a very small data sample, I think that you're wired for something else than this. I think it grew pretty big, which is, means you're very good at entrepreneurship. You're very good at generating a business. You can lead a team well. It's not necessarily that you got landscaping down. That's actually a byproduct. But what you're really good at is entrepreneurship, and you're really good at leading people no matter what it is. So I would try to find the intersection between what you're passionate about and allows you to maximize your giftings, that intersection of your giftings when what you're passionate about. And maybe that is marketing. But based on what you've told me, I would start to explore other careers. And then I'd just be really, really careful on that shift. I wouldn't do it overnight, very, very slowly. And I'd start actually looking around and asking questions of what you could possibly sell the landscaping company for. Because it sounds to me like you got a pretty good thing going on. So you might be able to get some good money for it. But anyway, something a little bit more rhythmic sounds to me what you're looking for. Let me do this. Let me give you the Entree Leadership book that we at Ramsey Solutions has here. Dave Ramsey was the author. And it talks through a lot of this in Entree Leadership, and it can walk you through some more details on how to figure this all out. But congratulations, though, on having such a great company.
Thanks, man.
What, 26?
26.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's impressive. Very impressive.
We started 2 years ago with 5 yards, and we passed 150 accounts 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, you are a go-getter. And that kind of go-getter and just energy and intensity and just think about that was channeled towards something that didn't rob you from other things that you're passionate about. That'd be an ideal situation. So again, stay on the line. We're going to give you the free Entree Leadership book. And yeah, I think I'm leaning towards you selling this company and going to do something else, but a very, very slow turn. Don't put your family at risk. All right.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Very, very cool stuff. I love that, man. So that is just so great. Five yards. That nuts. Love it. Very cool. Remember, folks, as we're talking through this, we're talking through 80 hours a week, 60 hours a week. There's a lot of things we're balancing in life, right? But there's not really any balance. You're looking for rhythms in life, rhythms in life. And we got to remember our work is worship. Our work is worship. When we're actually doing it unto the Lord, it is worship. So let's not be afraid of working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours. We got 168 hours a week. There's nothing wrong with working 40 or 50. Now, if you're working 80 week in and week out, over and over and over again, then you've kind of messed up a rhythm. But our work is worship. Got an awesome email here from Victor. He's got a testimony, and he's also got a question. It says, I just recently came out of under a rock, and I heard the Dave Ramsey show for the first time, literally 3 weeks ago. Since then, I have been eating a steady diet of you. I guess he's referring to us here at the show, Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Dave Ramsey, and Chris Hogan. I consider you guys an answer to prayer. A little over 2 years ago, me and my wife cried out to God to get us out of debt so we could be a blessing to the church the way that we wanted and needed to. So for the last 15 months, we paid off $35,000 in debt. The problem was our total debt was $96,000. After listening to you guys, I realized just how radical we needed to be, almost gazelle-like. So we tapped our savings account for the rest. That was Thursday. I don't think it has really set in just how different our lives are about to be. But I can tell you, having a plan is awesome. Thank you and the team for ministering to the body of Christ. Very cool stuff from Victor. He says, now my question. For the last 3 years, I've been pastoring a small flock of about 50 people. According to the 2013 U.S. Census, we are located in the poorest county in my state. I will be sharing Financial Peace University with my congregation. And I was just wondering, what was the best strategy to bring such a transformational program into a multi-generational culture of poverty? Well, I would lead out with two scriptures come to mind. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. This whole idea of being faithful with what we have been entrusted with, whether that's 20 grand a year or 200 grand a year. The other scripture that comes to mind is the parable of the talents. There's some people that are given five. There's some people that are given two. There's some people that are given one. But regardless, there is a faithful component to whatever we've been entrusted with. Mother Teresa says, be faithful in small things because it is in them that your strength lies. I know the poorest income per capita is in a county in Mississippi at $23,000 is the average. That seems pretty low, right? It's low. But let's put it in perspective. Let's pull up a little bit. If you live in this country and you make over $14,000 a year, you are in the top 11% of wealth in the world. If you make over $34,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of wealth in the world. So, Victor, if I were you, I would lead out with the definition of stewardship. It's deeper than if you qualify for a Roth IRA or not. Stewardship changes everything. Manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. How can we do that, whether we make $10,000 a year or whether we make $100,000 a year? And practically speaking, even more important for them. They have so little room for error. This is very, very important for them. They can't cover up their mistakes with high income. We have to defeat victim's mentality. Okay, there's going to be some of them that have that victim's mentality. With God, a victim's mentality should become a victor's mentality. And people don't choose their future. They choose habits that shape their future. Well, folks, how fun was today's show? You know why it's fun? Because this show discusses how we can more effectively worship God with our lives, which is our ultimate calling. And that's fun. Don't forget, you can get all of your investing questions answered by one of our SmartVestor pros by going to stewardship.com. Just click on Chris Recommends and then find a pro. You'll be all ready to go with our investing professional right there in your area. Until next time, God bless y'all.